We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Are you ready?
It's Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
It's okay for you to celebrate a win, but little Johnny's
console
over there.
Console the other kid.
We played hopscotch when we were kids.
I used to swim naked with him in the local Y.
So if you don't have your quarterback out there, everything else kind of stagnates.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about the people that aren't here.
So if you're going to compete against me, you better be willing to give up your life.
Great.
Because I'm giving up mine.
With Glenn, Lou, and Christian.
No, Matt. Not trying to get slick, Molly.
Ass for always ass. I mean, that knows who I'm associated with Walt Disney, but damn it, everybody knows that I'm a bottom feeder.
Hey-o!
Julian Edelman is one of the guys that is just through years of conversation here and there where guys, you know.
You're telling me that people have been thinking this way about Julian for a long time?
Julian Edelman's been, there's a lot of people that, yes, they've been suspect of Julian Edelman.
Right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
See, our new motto should be no days off, and then every once in a while we do an extra 20 minutes. Right, that should be our motto, not the Patriots, because they take days off all the time now.
Yeah.
And what was Monday, by the way? Cornhole at Fenway Park. I'd call that day off. That was not really work.
It's a day off.
That was bonding
work.
Day.
Whole thing's off. Everything's
that,
off.
That is work. You can't bond in Foxborough with a bunch of guys?
People you don't like. It's hard to bond with people you don't like. You know, you're trying to build that chemistry.
So how do you do that?
Well, you go play cornhole.
Mm.
Ping pong. Cool. Shuffleboard.
You hate cornhole. I know you told me
I
that.
Do. I think we all hate. I think
it's boring.
We all hate cornhole.
Unless you're drinking.
And I'm going to allow my esteemed colleague to make this point, and I will tag on if you would like, because we all know that there's those neighborhood cornhole players.
The champs.
They have
not
their
just
own.
Neighborhood, everybody. Just,
yeah,
you know,
really, everybody. But it's usually you see in the neighborhood a lot, and they have their special board that they use, and they whip it out every time.
Losers.
You know, like everybody wants to play on that board. Everyone wants to be on that guy's team. And he dominates the real athletes.
They play for 2 hours because nobody can beat his team. No, it's just, you know, it's a drinking game.
Yeah, and I usually, you know.
The guys that are really good, they just throw swishes every time. Put it in there.
But that's all they do. Because you can't, play horse? You can't play horse?
Why can't you play like beer pong or something like that?
Let's play a drinking game.
Yeah. That's bonding, isn't it?
I've never been a cornhole fan.
You like to just sit in a chair?
Thank you.
Me too. Barbecue and a nice cold beer constantly?
I don't want to stand up. Oh, what we did is they made these inventions where they have this like little stand where it's like this big metal rod and it, you know, you kind of dig it into the ground and you can place your beer in there. It's a beer holder.
Oh, sweet.
So, you know, you sit there and you don't have to move around for it. You actually don't have to hold your beer. No, I'm not.
Yeah,
a
see, I'm done with all this stuff.
Not a bowling fan.
We were lectured for years of how important it was to do all of these things, be there everywhere. It can't be. You have to give up your life, all this other stuff. And then we find out that Brady, when he can give up, you know, some of this stuff, he gives it up. It's a different situation. Bill's doing the same thing right now. Screw it. A day of.
And there were no days.
Has,
off.
Yeah, all
no
days. Days.
It means so much different. It doesn't mean the same thing anymore.
Different meaning. And now we're going to have Tom Brady probably lecture us because he's doing that interview with Oprah. When's that on?
I don't know.
When's that interview for?
Sunday.
You got that trailer?
Sunday. This is the trailer now. For the Tom Brady sit-down with Oprah Winfrey.
Taking a knee divided the country. What was happening in your own locker room?
Oprah and Tom Brady. Fatherhood, Giselle, and his career.
Have you thought about what happens after football?
Super Bowl
yeah,
Sunday.
Oprah. Are you kidding me? Is anybody even talking to you, Oprah?
Where's your research?
Are you pliable?
You know what the funny thing is?
We have crossed
bands.
We've
lots
crossed
of bands.
Over.
But the thing is that we're going to watch this.
Of course
we are.
Is it on the O Network?
We're going to look at Oprah and be like, can somebody really interview this guy so we can really get some answers?
No.
Because it's not going to give us anything.
Do we cut off all
the
questions?
Just the opposite.
Do we cut it off? Is there any more?
No, that's it.
Have you thought about life after football? Right? That was the last question?
Correct. Nope, I haven't.
No, you know.
Actually, I haven't.
No,
I mean, I'm 41 years old, and I just think I'm going to play for the rest of my life.
Yeah, you know, I'll think about that when that time comes. I'm going to cross that bridge when we get
Oprah,
there.
Oprah, I mean, where have you been? Have you seen this TV 12 thing I'm doing? I'm going around the country. I mean, everywhere, the world.
Yeah,
promoting TV 12.
To me, this is a whole. This is like one of those. Okay, you always knew You couldn't relate to Tom, and you had nothing, like these guys on this team, these young guys on the team, just fresh out of college. Even a guy like, you know, that comes from another team. This guy's doing Oprah. He's doing Oprah. Like, he's one of the most intriguing men, or most interesting men in the world.
You know why he's doing it, though? Because this really doesn't play.
It's the billboard.
This is Giselle's crowd. This is Giselle's crowd.
What do you mean? What
Giselle's crowd is now Tom's crowd.
What does that mean? Yeah. What does Giselle's crowd mean?
Have you thought about what happens after football?
Listen to the music in the background. What does that mean? What does Giselle's crowd mean?
You think
it's non-football. This is going to have nothing to do with football.
No, but do you think she even realizes that he didn't show up for OTAs? Think that's going to come up?
Yeah, what a negative impact it's going to have on the development of the young wide receivers. They're not going to get any better.
I think she knows he's got 2 years left in his contract. Yeah.
Christian, we'll all
does he know that he was like, you know, how happy he was when he found out that Jimmy Garoppolo got traded?
None of that.
Does she know what Jimmy Garoppolo is?
No.
And their research staff doesn't either. None of that. You're getting none of it.
This is going to be, and the other thing is, like, how's he going to answer? Are you going to have some real honesty? Here's Oprah. If I'm Oprah, you know, why did Malcolm Butler play?
It ain't gonna happen.
Why didn't Malcolm Butler play?
She doesn't know who Malcolm Butler is.
What are we doing? If I'm a researcher, all I do is type in Tom Brady and Patriots or whatever.
Merlone Investments, what are the odds that she brings up Malcolm Butler?
0.0.
Not going to happen.
0%.
None of this stuff is going to happen. Life after you're done playing football.
Nope.
Okay? She's going to get into taking the knee. She's going to try to see if she can generate some support for Kaepernick.
He's not answering that question.
Oh, I think he will.
He's going to play right into it.
He's going to talk about Giselle. He's going to talk about his family. He's going to talk about TB12, his diet. Avocado ice cream will definitely be mentioned.
Do you know that if you drink a lot of water, you can't get a sunburn?
Yeah. And we just heard kneeling.
I was
going
to say that to Oprah.
Kneeling. What was going on in your locker room? Well, we respect each person.
What did you tell them? They all have their choices, and I thought we handled it right. We have a great locker room.
Isn't that kind of uncomfortable bringing up your diet tips to Oprah? Isn't that a little, you know?
She's a Weight Watchers girl, right?
Nope.
Yeah.
The Weight Watchers.
Yeah. Points. Yeah.
All the stuff I would say Oprah, everything that's on your list, it's a nightshade. that's poison. What do you eat? What do you have for dessert? You have a cheat day on Weight Watchers?
She's going to have a bowl. What about a bowl of strawberries?
No,
I saw them have. That's what a researcher. He doesn't like strawberries.
Oh, I love strawberries.
We'll joke about the strawberries.
Sunday night? What time is it? What time is this thing on?
It was Sunday at 11 a.m. I think it says it in the
Sunday at 11 a.m.
Sunday at 11 a.m.
Is it on the
What show is it on?
Giselle and his career.
Have you thought about what happens after football?
Super Soul Sunday, 11 a.m., 10 Central.
Really? Super Soul Sunday?
What network is it?
Suck on that. You were right. Super Soul Sunday.
What channel is it on?
What channel?
Is that Snoop Dogg's channel? What is that?
What is Oprah? I don't know what Oprah is. Was she CBS?
It's the O. No, but she does 60 Minutes, but she's not, like, you know. Whatever.
We don't know what channel it's
correspondent for 60 minutes.
We find out what channel it's on.
Yeah.
That's kind of important.
Yeah, we're kind of lost with the channel.
It's got to be the old channel. Like, maybe it's the Oxygen channel, the way we did the Aaron Hernandez special.
I don't know.
You know, when someone
We're getting nothing out of this.
I would assume Giselle would be sitting next to him.
Talk
about concussions.
Maybe Giselle will be part of it. He's playing to Giselle's crowd here. This is Giselle's
crowd. You keep talking about Giselle's crowd.
Yes.
Giselle's crowd is high fashion.
How about this?
Are you out of your mind right now?
That's what Oprah's into.
What if Oprah?
You're off on this.
Here's
one.
The thing.
I know you're having a rough day.
Oprah should come out of the gate and be like, your team at voluntary OTAs that you refused to show up at because you wanted to spend family time. Meanwhile, you're in Monaco and Grand Prix racing. You're out there golfing, you know, with Ricky Fowler and Phil Mickelson and Jimmy Dunn.
Yeah, you got the wrong show.
Your team is trying to improve. You got other guys, your wide receiver, Julian Edelman, your favorite target. He's going to be suspended for 4 games. You got a bunch of guys out there, basically, other than, I don't know, Gronk and Hogan, who you haven't worked for before. You just went there for 3 days. You saw how far behind you were. There were 4 days coming up next. You decided not to show up to the point where your coach canceled practice because you realized you can't get nothing done because his quarterback ain't there. Yeah. What do you got to say about that?
Now you got a better shot. Are you like Stephen A? You're a bottom feeder. You got that.
So Oprah would have to be high for that to happen.
How about that question?
Here's Drew in a car. Drew in a car wants to give us the description of Giselle's crowd. Go ahead, Drew.
I love you, Christian. How do you make that comment? How do you ask that question?
Which one?
You asked a lot of questions.
What is Giselle's crowd?
Yeah, no. Tell me. What is it?
Giselle's crowd is elitist.
Okay.
Giselle's crowd
I was going to say just,
snob.
You know.
There's a reason, Christian. This has been something that's been talked about in New England for years. People. Why is it that most people, nothing sticks to Peyton Manning. People love Peyton Manning, and people don't like Tom Brady. This is the reason, Christian. Tom Brady.
So Giselle's crowd is now. I'd say you're. I think that's. It resembles what her crowd would be like.
Tom Brady's
a high-end modeling career with a lot of people following. I don't know.
And Oprah fits the boat. She's one of them. That's what she is.
One of them. That's
what
she is. Who's next? Tom Cruise?
He's like, that crowd is just like into weird things. They won't eat normal food. They just think they're better than everybody else. Tom Brady is the kind of guy who would step over your body in the street to get into a limousine to go flying off somewhere. Because this is the reason people love Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning just seems like
all we have are people who call on it and defend Tom Brady. You're out of your mind. Like people locally love Tom Brady.
Yeah, people in New England love Tom Brady, but nobody, you can't relate to him.
Well, no. See, here's the thing, Drew. I said this years ago. Brady decided that he was going to go down a different road. While Peyton Manning is repping Buick and Papa John's, stuff that everyone can afford, Brady is repping Movado watches.
You don't think
Aston Martin?
A big influence on all of that was his wife?
No, we've said that in the past. My question.
Hold on, Drew.
My question was, and maybe you're onto something. Maybe that's what it is. He thinks he's better. So Giselle's crowd. You keep saying this is Giselle's crowd.
He just gave
crowd.
It to you. Drew just explained
okay, that
it to you.
So he's doing this to appease Giselle's friends. The rich and famous of the world.
I think that's who he hangs with.
The people that buy Aston Martins and buy those watches and eat that type of food. The elitists, the snobs. That's who, the people that think they're just better than everybody else. Their lives are better.
He does interviews with Scratchy. That's an everyday guy.
I don't know if Scratchy's an everyday guy.
So Giselle and her people have convinced him that he needs to march to a beat of a different drum and kind of commit 100% to the other side.
But everything that Drew just said is accurate, is that the public perception of Brady nationally now, forget about the cheating stuff and throw that out, but is much different than Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning is like the everyday guy.
That's a two-year-old take. It's old. I get it. I said it 2 years ago.
You were on the cutting edge.
Maybe you weren't here then. I said maybe three years ago.
I'll ask Tim Benz.
But this was before. Maybe it's Giselle, but he was.
But
he
you're
was
sitting
posing.
Here stunned when I bring up that he's doing this Oprah thing, and this really plays into the Giselle crowd. Giselle is probably ecstatic
that he's doing an Oprah interview this week. This plays to his advertising for TV 12. This is a marketing ploy. Yeah. Your life after football. Okay. Hey, I'm going to talk about TV 12.
Sure.
Family. Okay. Oh, the family, you kind of have to. Football. Okay.
Who's more likely to buy that stuff? But that crowd.
The point is, you're right, though, because that's the only crowd that can afford it.
That's right. Yeah.
The only crowd that can afford it.
We're selling cookbooks that are $250 or whatever.
Or universities.
Exactly.
Like, that's the universities that have endowments money.
We love Brady. We love everything he's done here. But let's face facts here. He has elected to be a guy who's going to, down the road, appeal to the elitist. That's what he's doing.
Sure.
And Peyton Manning has decided on taking the other road. He'll sell the pizza. You know, cut that meat. He'll do that stuff. Everybody picks out where they want to go with their brand. He is elected to go highbrow with his brand.
Yep.
That's what he's done. And I don't see how you can't see that.
You're missing the point. That's not me seeing that. Your question was, I wanted you to say, not Drew from wherever, to say who Giselle's crowd was. You couldn't say it, or you wouldn't say it because you didn't want to irritate or piss off anybody.
You actually say something.
I figured you would understand.
But it has nothing to do with you actually saying something. You won't say it.
You're about
like, I put you on the tee. I put the ball on the tee, and you refuse to hit it.
Screw the tee.
You're so worried about upsetting people.
Oh,
because
I'm
of this
really
call?
Worried.
The call we had this morning, right? Is that what it was?
No.
That's what it was, right?
I'm worried about that call.
That caller talking about Peyton Manning, though. I still don't, because I think that, 8 years ago, people loved Peyton Manning and just didn't like Tom Brady. I think it's still about the winning. He won more than Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning came from royalty. Like this Tom Brady we're seeing right now, I know what he did earlier in his career, but this is a 3 or 4 year thing that's been going on the last 3, 4, 5 years, maybe tops.
Yeah.
Where Tom Brady is starting to just become this guy.
Yes.
So it's not like people are just starting to hate Tom now because of this. They never liked him because he won. And Manning, ESPN loves him. It's royalty in the NFL, the whole family thing, and he's just a, you know, that type of guy.
But they're appealing in the way that they
Brady
represent
wins more,
themselves.
That's what happens. You don't like the guy that wins more than the other guy.
Yeah, but their brand is appealing to totally different demographic groups.
And that's been the more last 4 or 5 years.
I agree with you. And you know, a lot of that might have something to do with Giselle. Not that Peyton Manning is staying at Holiday Inn Expresses, okay? He's staying at the best hotels, the finest resorts. He's flying on private jets. He's doing all of those things that Brady does in his private life. Okay, let's not think that he's out there slumming it, all right? He's doing all that stuff, but the way he's presenting his brand is much different than the way Brady's
Well, but doing. This goes back to him posing with a bunch of farm animals back in 2002 or something.
Yeah,
like
done,
that.
You've done that, but a different no, for a different no, reason.
It was a horse, and it was a mutual
That's
agreement.
Nothing,
and it was a
it
college
wasn't a horse.
Phase.
It was a mule.
It was a college. It was a college phase. That's actually a true story, though. That's for another.
Yeah,
time.
That's another part of the hate, though. Like Tom's good looking. Peyton Manning looks like he's been punched in the face about 20 times.
Peyton's
you know,
more normal
he's your
looking.
Local,
yeah.
He's your, you know,
he's ugly.
He comes from a football family.
He's not ugly. More normal.
He is.
Eli's all strange looking.
They're both strange looking. They're both weird.
Cooper was the best looking of the bunch. Just couldn't play football. He had issues. You know,
Cooper,
physical issues.
No matter what you say about the Mannings, it'll always say it's like they have this built-in agreement to make sure we keep Cooper happy. Make sure he was the most talented, although he got hurt. He feels better about himself.
So we'll watch this, but you know it's going to be garbage, right? Do we know? We know in advance that all of the questions that we want answered, none of them will be answered.
None,
it'll
none
be more.
Answered. None of them will be brought up.
None of them will be.
No, no football
it'll
questions.
It'll be more of the same.
Have you thought about what happens after football?
Well, it's funny. I have this business that I've been working on for a long period of time with my good friends. Actually, the godfather to my son. His name's Alex.
Here's the book.
We call him Mr. Miyagi. Oh, you hear this? Oh my
family.
God. Yeah. Is this done at the the
guys,
Montana Ranch?
Oh, you guys have a typical meal prepared over here in the side? Just, let's go try it. Here, Oprah, try this. This is spiced with, and this is what it's going to be. Yeah, she's going to be trying
what
some of the food
stuff
from TV.
Spirulina.
And Oprah. You can afford it, and so can your friends.
Only you.
Hey, can you get me on Gail's show? What is Gail? Gail's got that other the morning show on CBS. You get on that show also.
Oprah, try some spirulina. You'll
never
love
heard about that. I know you're always into these crazy diets.
We'll get none of it, and trust me, he will be very sympathetic to Kaepernick. You're going to get that. That will come out of this.
And the kneeling.
He will the kneeling.
Well, let me ask you,
played all right.
I'm trying to think back, like, did he actually ever, you know, have a comment on the whole Kaepernick thing? Because I'm sure he did.
I plead the fifth.
Well, this wasn't it. That was different. Though, but when it first kind of came up, this is early in the season, everybody was like, got the green light to talk about it.
I remember him talking.
And I want to say he said something that was, similar to what, you know, it's supportive of the players.
I respect him.
Yes, it was one of those things. I mean,
Morning Show asked him in September of last year.
Have you paid much attention to the Kaepernick stuff or no?
Not much. I mean, not this time of year. I feel like I've got a lot. My attention goes in a lot of places, so not much.
No, like Wednesday press conference.
He won't do that with Oprah.
Because there was more, Paul.
I thought there was more.
No,
too.
Because everybody on that Wednesday. Before the game, it was Wednesday or Thursday, everybody, you could tell Bill talked to everybody because they all gave their opinion. Whether it was, didn't matter what side of the fence you're on, didn't matter if you agreed or disagreed. They all, from the 52nd guy on the roster to the first guy on the roster, all had an opinion. But then that was it. Nobody touched it anymore. You got that. You got, hey, I got a lot going on right now. So whatever that answer is, and maybe we'll find it when we come back. Whatever that answers, it's going to be the same.
I think it'll be a prominent question, though, that she will ask. It's already obviously teased.
I have a little bit, actually, right here.
Okay.
Sorry, this is on CBS Sports. This is an interview we did in the morning.
Okay, good.
Do you think he can play again in the NFL?
I sure hope so. You know, I've always watched him and admired him, the way that he's played. He, you know, was a great young quarterback. He came to our stadium and beat us and took his team to the Super Bowl in 2012. You know, he accomplished a lot in the pros as a player, and he's certainly qualified, and I hope he gets a shot.
That has nothing to do with the kneeling, though.
No.
No, that's just referring to him as a player, should he get a chance. The big question is going to be specifically directed at kneeling. Because there's so many different questions. Kneeling, did the NFL get it right with their new ruling?
How do you feel about the new rule?
How about the new ruling? Okay, guys, Trump said this. You're friends with Trump. I mean, think about all the questions you could ask. They've already agreed to what they're not going to ask. It's already planned out. I mean, here it is. Tom, I only got 10 questions. We talked about it. You know, like, I'm not going to put you on the spot. I'm not going to, like, air out your dirty laundry. I'm not going to surprise you.
Wait a minute. You're saying this thing is all staged? That Oprah is staging the whole thing?
Yeah. He already had
You know what? You're good.
Oprah is staging the whole thing?
You're finally coming around. Look at you figuring it out on your own.
You know what? I'm so disappointed.
I'm so proud of you.
I'm going to watch anyways, though.
Are they taking any listeners or viewers' questions? We could send one in.
Yeah.
You know, why didn't Malcolm Butler play?
The ones that Hillary got? Like, that she didn't know about?
Maybe we can set it up like Hillary did. All right, 617-779-7937 right here on OMF.
Difference a year makes.
Are you gonna let me at all talk about this game without being like, oh, here we go, Kiss Ass Lou. Alex Cora can never do anything wrong.
It's Glenn, Christian, and Kiss Ass Lou on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, back here on OMF, as I said, we're gonna be here until 2:20.
2:20, baby, getting you ready for sale day.
Lineups are out.
Lineups out.
Mookie Betts is back in the lineup in right field. So that's good news. Little concern when they sat him out last night.
Understandable, though.
Yeah, he came back for one game, played, what, 11 innings?
11 innings.
And then they sat him down last night. Boy, those Orioles are terrible.
Not good.
Oh, my God, Lou, they're awful. They're boring to watch, and they're going to be even worse when they finally, you know, trade out key players here, including Machado. They trade him out here in another month. Oh, my God, they're awful. And there's nobody in the stands. Beautiful ballpark. Mm-hmm. One of the great ballparks in America. Really kind of changed how ballparks are built. And you see nobody in the stands. I mean, when they show sections, their whole sections, you're just empty seats. It is amazing when you think of that. But they're awful. They're just terrible.
Not a good team. So he's going to try to get out there and get this win. Sox is 7-7 with their best pitcher on the mound.
Yeah. Well, no run support.
No, they don't score at all for the guy.
Actually, it's like 3 runs a game, and it's worse than that if you take out one game where they scored double digits, 11, 12 runs or whatever.
It's pathetic.
Like 2? That is bad.
Pathetic.
Meh. So how does that happen? Is that just by coincidence, or do you suddenly sit there and say, oh, we don't need to do it today? We got Chris Sale.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's sometimes that just happens. There's always a guy. Every year there's always a guy. You know, then there's another guy that doesn't throw the ball well and always gets wins. You know, now Erod's throwing the ball well, but this guy's 8-1. Meanwhile, Chris Sale's what, 5-4?
That's what I like about Jackie Bradley Jr. He gives the same support to every pitcher in that rotation.
Everybody gets the same support. If you look at like Jackie Bradley Jr., like his last 15 games, if you were just to look at that, you'd be like, okay, he's still going there. He's like he's over 200.
Going where?
Batting average of you would think without looking at the last 7 games or the last couple weeks, you realize that he's right back where he was before he kind of took that little uptick. I mean, it wasn't even a lot. It was just a small, little, tiny, little uptick.
No, he was respectable for a week.
Yeah, it was fine. I'll take that. He was respectable. It was worth it. Him being out in the outfield was worth it if he could hit 200. Now it's right back to
200. Nah,
I'm leaving it at 200. He was the hero the other day. Sacrifice fly. Got him the win. You can call it insurance all you want,
He hit a rope to right field last night.
Of course, so
it was
contact?
Right at the right fielder.
Oh, okay.
Right at the right
fielder. That's not his fault.
It's got to be 245, something
else. Yeah, it's never going to – It's right. Dude, I'm like – I don't know. What does an on-fire Jackie Bradley look like?
We've seen it for a month.
I know, but – He bats 425 for a month, Christian.
I've forgotten. But it seems like that guy was a mirage. That was him just like finding a horseshoe, right? Like, or like a rabbit's foot. And like, all right, I have 3 wishes. Let me use them all up. And that wish only gives me 1 month of production.
Well, listen,
he doesn't have anything left.
I mean, it's the same story with him, right? I mean, it goes off for the month. And if he ends up hitting 245, which he's done, 260 and 250 in that range, it's like, I would just rather see 250 every month from this guy. I mean, I know that that's not a reality, but we're just waiting for a 250 month. You know, he had 1 week where he got his average up to 200. You know, it was like he was hitting 160 or whatever it was and started getting some hits and started cutting down the strikeouts, and he got up to 200. And now he's sitting there. He's 0 for his last 11. I think he's 1 for his last, 18?
Yeah. He strikes out an awful lot. And they're bad strikeouts. You know that. He's not even close to making contact. He's fanning for the catcher.
19 again. You know what I mean?
Awful.
Like you look at a guy like Devers and say, man, he's been struggling for a while.
Not last night.
You know, and then he gets a little double the other way in the big inning in that 11th, 12th inning, whatever it was. And it's a bomb last night. And it's like, okay. So you're just constantly looking for positive things to kind of take with you. And he's been playing a lot better defensively.
Yeah.
You know, lately, I think the last even month or so, I think he's played a lot better defensively. So it's like, okay, there's things to build on. You got to start building when you're in certain spots like he was recently and what Jackie is. And you thought this little week he had of a 7-8 game stretch was like, okay, look, he's hitting 300 or 310, whatever. He's doing his thing. And it didn't last.
No, and people
won for his last 19.
And people panicked here. You lost Mookie Betts for a couple weeks, and so people were panicking. You take him out of the lineup, and we know what the bottom of the lineup is like, and we know what Bradley is like. You guys just described it, and you say, oh, my God, this team can't hit or whatever. You put Mookie Betts back in the lineup with Martinez, and if Devers starts doing it, you're getting a little bit of pop now from Vasquez. Hitting-wise, they're going to be fine. Is anybody watching the Yankees? The Yankees are winning a majority of their games. They're not hitting. Has anybody watched Giancarlo Stanton? He is not hitting, right? They're not getting it. The Bird, remember everybody talked about Bird coming back, and that was going to be a big difference. And Sanchez, they had to sit Sanchez down, Lou.
I was never.
Because he's not hitting.
This Bird guy. I mean, it was like.
You were never a fan.
Oh, my God. It was like, oh, wait till they get Bird back. It's like, dude, who is Bird? What the hell has Bird ever done?
Right.
Slow down on wait till they get Bird back.
Well, they're sitting Sanchez down now as well because he's not. The Yankees aren't hitting either. And I don't think anybody's panicking, but we're panicking to the point where we have to bring Hanley Ramirez back. That's where we are right now. How is Hanley going to solve anything?
Well, I don't know what the hell's going on with Hanley.
Someone's
going to tell me. You know, Hanley Ramirez right now, being released, would kind of like raise some eyebrows. The fact that he's not picked up right now. You know, is like, why did Malcolm Butler not start in the Super Bowl? You know, and when that happens, everyone's like, it makes no sense to where the stories come out left and right. You know, is it an off-the-field issue? Did something happen to him? I mean, you hear sort of rumors you never go with. But, I mean, it's like, did something happen that, like, other teams got a hold of that, like, you know, he's not going to be worth it? Because how the hell do you not bring this guy on for $300,000 and sit him on the end of the bench?
No, it's a good question.
Does he not want to play anymore? Like, you go look at people and say, he can't hit anymore. Fine. He hit. He was the only guy that hit in the postseason against the Houston Astros. He did hit .330 in the month of April, so he had a bad 20-game stretch or whatever it was, or 3 weeks in May. Can't hit anymore. Go look at the back end of rosters. Go look at 23, 24, 25th men. Go look at teams' benches and say, would you rather have Hanley Ramirez on your bench or this guy?
Well, a couple things.
For $300,000?
Nobody has said that he doesn't want to play. Wouldn't we know that by now if he was holding out for more than veteran minimum? And why would you need more than veteran minimum? You already got your $22 million for the year. You're getting paid the same amount of money. But we're not hearing anybody say that they would like to pick up Hanley.
There's got
to
be.
Baltimore was interested, and then Duquette apparently passed on him.
But why would you wait also? I mean, because it's not like. It's not like he's just like, hey, I'm just going to go to the cages. I'm going to head down to Fort Myers. I'm going to get some work in the sun, right? I mean, because when you're released and nobody's
picking
you up.
Over a couple weeks.
So what are you doing? What were you?
And then, he's been playing 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, so how long is that going to take?
Well, their teams, because you
can get
the
back
one thing,
into it.
The one thing you could say about him is he's going to be a pain in the ass if he's just a pinch hitter and we can't play him much. But there are teams right now that could use DHs, okay? There are teams that could use some help at that position and nobody's touching him. So How does the word get around there, Lou? Does word filter from team to team to team?
I'm just saying, at this point, you're like, Hanley, okay, you can't find a starting spot. So maybe he doesn't want to play that role. Maybe he doesn't want to be like a bat off the bench.
Wouldn't we hear that by now, though?
I don't think
he does.
I have no idea. But, I mean, you know, people say he'd be miserable coming off the bench. Okay, well, you don't have a starting job.
Right.
So you either decide, I don't want to have that role, and therefore I'm not going to play with anybody. Because the only people that are coming to me are saying there's no starting role. Is that the situation, or is there something else off the field that people are staying away from Hanley Ramirez about? Because, I can go to every team's bench. They got four guys on the bench. One guy's a catcher. So every team's got three guys on the bench. You telling me you wouldn't want to have that potential rather than player X on your bench if you're a team that's, you know, for nothing? Hell, the Oakland A's, nothing. $300,000. Small market team. Grab Hanley. Put him on your bench. He could DH for you once in a while. You're one injury away from him playing first or DHing.
Well, the Red Sox picked up Adam Lind. He's in the minor leagues right now. What did they pay for him?
Nothing.
Yeah, but
so why wouldn't another team look at it? Obviously, you don't throw him down in the minors. You've got to put him in the big leagues. Maybe Hanley's going to pass and go into the minors. But you're right. Why wouldn't a team pick him up? And Hanley needs to play, I think, this year. I don't think he's done. He needs to play this year to get a contract for next year.
He needs a friend, right? He needs one of those guys, one of those former managers, coaches, hitting coach, whatever, a former teammate that is now somewhere in some department and on some team to vouch for him. That's what I mean, because whatever story, because it's got to be story related. It's got to be attitude related.
Who's out there?
It's got to be. Well, I don't know who his friends are. I don't know what type of relationship.
Mattingly,
grown,
I don't know who's out there.
That grown, you know, based on that, yeah, but that's usually know. If you have a bad rep and people are running with a narrative that may or may not be true. You need somebody on the inside that department trusts. And you need him to vouch for
him. But Christian, what is the bad rap? We know that they didn't trust him right now in a part-time role. Mitch Moreland was earning more playing time at first base. He was going to see less playing time because Martinez wanted to play somebody out. We know the game. But what else could it possibly be beyond that? That the teams are all
just
staying away from him where you can get him at minimum. Unless he's holding up, I don't know. I'm asking the question because I don't know.
Okay, so he has absolutely no leverage whatsoever. You're going to hold out?
He's got no leverage.
We already know that you're already getting all your money
from
the Red
leverage.
Sox, okay? We're going to pay you veteran minimum.
Not only does he not have, he's already got his money. There's no reason for him to ask for more than the veteran's minimum. And second of all, if he does not play the rest of the year, you don't think there are going to be more questions in the offseason? If his agent is pitching him around the league, trying to get a job somewhere, nobody's going to give him anything for next year because they're going to sit there and say, well, wait a minute, why did you pass on this team or that team or that team in this past year? You took the summer off, you got your money, and you went to the Riviera? What are we talking about here?
We'll see.
Yeah, I just don't get it. Yeah, I don't know. Because I think that, you know, they could use him. They could use a bat, but, you know, right now.
But they're not bringing him back, though. Luke.
No. They could have. I mean, they could not have done it. They could have made sure that freaking Dustin Pedroia's ass was healthy enough to activate him to force that move is what they could have done.
Right.
They could have actually made Pedroia play 9 innings and see how he reacted the next day and then take him a day off, play another 9 innings. I don't know what the hell you had to bring him back for that day. Why you had to rush him back and play baseball in a year and a half or whatever it was, over a year with the surgery. There's just no sense to it. They wanted to move on for whatever reason, and for whatever reason, no team wants a part of him. We just don't know if it's his choice or the team's. Who knows?
But it could be as simple as the word is out there, he's going to be a pain in the ass if he's a part-time player. Because that's what the Red Sox thought of him. That's what Cora thought of him. Cora pretty much said that publicly. It was going to be an issue,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Right, he said that. So that's out there publicly. Maybe another team is looking at it saying, well, we don't have a full-time role for him either way. You know, either way. And let's face it, Lou, you have a lot of teams tanking right now. So why should we bring him in? For what reason? He's not going to draw flies to the ballpark. Hmm. What are we going
to
do?
Baltimore
was the team.
They could use him.
I thought Dan Duquette had some interest in him. At least it was out there,
yeah.
And it kind of went by the wayside. All right, we'll throw some baseball onto the docket as well, and we've got to get into this. Mike Francesa has invented something. There's only one problem. 617-779-7937.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI. Before, during, and after the show at OMF on WEEI. Let's get you back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, back here on an OMF baseball game this afternoon. The Red Sox try to sweep the Baltimore Orioles.
They're still playing this series?
What do you mean? It's the Orioles series? Because the Orioles used to have this lineup, and they could hit. Pitching sucked. And great closer, but the rotation sucked. But you'd see
some
runs. You
had a little rivalry.
Yeah, there was a little rivalry, a little bit of, you know, hatred there. And Mookie was always great.
Last year, there was a little bit something there.
Mookie had, like, unbelievable numbers, right? Every time he played down there in Camden. So that was always fun. But now it's embarrassing. I mean, the first night, neither one of these teams could muster up a run. It was boring as hell. And last night, Baltimore couldn't do squat, and the Red Sox pitching was constantly on the ropes the whole game. And
Joe Kelly bailed you out again.
Base juice came in again.
Yeah, you look pretty good. So why did we see Kimbrel last night in that game?
You know, I don't know. I think Cora talked about it afterwards, and I almost felt like they just kind of, you know, they brought Kelly in to get out of that jam.
Four-run game.
And then he went to Barnes, where it was in the lineup, and it just felt like he was kind of all in on it, you know, with Kelly and Barnes, and just sort of finished it with Kimbrel. I was a little surprised, given the use the night before. Like, he got up three times before he got in that game in the 12th. That was a rough night for him, you know, and but he got through it, whatever. Now, you got a 3 o'clock game today. You end up using him last night.
Can't use him today.
6-2. No, I would think he's down. And I would worry about Barnes. And Kelly has, you know, and Kelly, who knows, maybe all three of these guys. Hope he come out and swing the bat. But, you know, the four-run lead is the tough one with the closer. Because, you know, you say you start Brian Johnson because you got a four-run lead. And then, which most teams do, you don't bring the closer in with four out, four-run lead. But still, Johnson gives up a hit. Now what do you got to do? You're on the phone. I got to get Kimbrel up. So he's getting up anyway, right? And then maybe one more walk, and next thing you know, Kimbrel's in the game. Two guys are on, you know? So that's a tough lead, but it's, you know, given the day game here today and the usage the night before, how many times you got him up, I would think he's probably in trouble today as far as throwing the ball. I don't think he's throwing.
There's some concern about bullpen availability tomorrow.
Yeah, to say the least. Yeah, if I'm the manager of the other team, I know that we're very thin.
Yeah.
Well, you got Chris Sale pitching. So
but that's a bad idea. Sale?
There you go. So he solves everybody's problem.
I think he said hopefully we can score some runs for him.
Yeah. I mean, here's a guy. It's so funny. We you know, talking about this earlier about the difference between Rodriguez and Sale. You know, even though Rodriguez has been pitching great, you know, Rodriguez is 8-1, and Sale just can't get a win. He can't get a break at any point in time.
Yeah, but Erod's given up like 102 pitches by the fourth inning, right?
He's only losing. That's
a problem.
Well, that
forces you to use the bullpen on those nights, and that becomes an issue. But
it's not a huge problem.
No, I mean, he's not good.
Overly worried about.
Listen,
that.
I'm not worried about the starting pitching.
Well.
And by the way, has anybody noticed? It's been weeks since we've mentioned David Price's name.
Mm-hmm. I would say two guys. I would say there's two guys that nobody's talking about, and I forgot he was even on the team. Who's already this? Dustin Pedroia, the two D's.
Well, he's really not.
But my point is, at least you would be saying, when's he coming back? When's he going to be healthy? Okay, how's that second opinion? He went to New York. Last time we talked about it was he had that trip down to New York City.
Yeah.
And all of it was just swelling.
Yeah, I'd still be a little bit concerned about him, but Price for a different reason, that we talk about him. But their starting pitching has been good, and their bullpen has been good. Now, Carson Smith is done.
This might be a
career-ending injury.
Yep.
He's done with the Red Sox. He's never going to pitch here again. But they're talking about once they go in, there's a possibility this could be a career-ending injury, caused by him throwing the glove.
Yeah.
How old is he now? 27, 26?
People throw the glove all the time.
True.
And it just happened to him. He dislocated his freaking shoulder and screwed up the year and had surgery, and who knows if he ever comes back. But it does happen. It's just a freak accident.
Yeah, but this is.
What about every guy that broke a bat over his quad? Did any of them never had any issues with it?
Yeah,
you break a bat, and you're like, it tore his quad.
You're saying it's never smart. People do it though. They punch this, they punch that,
punch
they
out a blackboard.
Bone to finger. They do
break two
there
bones in your hand.
There you go.
Screw up the whole NBA finals.
You got to get two MRIs.
Yeah.
So I mean, it does happen. But yeah, no, it ain't good. No question, it's not good. Now, I'm curious to see if Sale what happens tonight as far as who closes this game. Yeah, that's
maybe he gives you a complete game.
Well, you just got to hope you score some runs for him for once,
yeah,
and you can get through it.
Yeah, if they can get a big lead, then you can kind of play around with it. But they don't with Sale, they don't.
No, Moreland's out of the lineup. I think Holt's at first base. I think that's today. Just a move today. Whatever. Just give Moreland a day off.
It's the Orioles.
It'll win the game. Move on.
It's like, God.
Yeah.
That team is just the worst to watch. So you look at it. Are they going to need some offense down the road? Now, I know Ruzny Castillo's name is constantly brought up, but we know that's a math issue. That's a math issue dealing with the luxury tax. Right. It's a financial issue. They can't trigger in the luxury tax because it is at a high number and it affects them with picks and everything else. So you're not going to mess with that. So Ruzny Castillo is going to rot in Pawtucket, correct?
Well, I would say this, that you're not going to have Ruzny Castillo is not going to be the reason why you go over the luxury tax. You know what I mean? It's not like if they're trying to stay under it, he's not the difference between winning a World Series and not.
Yeah, you may have to go at the end of July and get a player that's going to put you over the top.
No,
you're willing to go.
You're going to add some more money here, probably in that bullpen area or wherever. I mean, who knows what hole develops in another month. You know, somebody might go down the next month. They might sit there and say, we need a second baseman. We got to go get Jed Lowry, you know, and it's not that much money. But it's just going to be, you know, if you start adding $2 million here, $3 million there, next thing you know, you're already over.
Yeah.
But Ruznay Castillo, he's in trouble. Years ago when they DFA'd him, it was a rule in baseball. Once you DFA him, he cleared waivers because nobody wanted the contract, you take that off your luxury tax. They changed that loophole. So the minute you call him up, you are on. You got him. You got him for this year's money, which is about 11.
Two
next
more,
year's money, which is 11.2. The following year, which is 14.8 or something ridiculous. So you got him. He can't go anywhere. So unless you're willing to spend $12 million a year for a fourth outfield, you better make sure he can play.
Right, so suppose your hitting woes continue here, even with Mookie Betts back healthy again. Suppose it continues. The kid can hit, and apparently defensively he's been pretty good down there, right?
The only way he
so that
makes
may be
it,
the only answer.
The only way he makes it here is if, you know, financially, okay, you move on from Jackie Bradley Jr. and you use Jackie to get, you know, a reliever. You use Jackie to get somebody. So Jackie's in that $7 million range. Next year in arbitrations, Jackie's probably going to make 10, as bad as his year is. I don't know. So he ain't here.
Wow.
So you replace his 10 with Ruznay Castillo's 10.
That's
and you make him the left fielder, and JD's your DH, and Benintendi's your center fielder.
Interesting.
So that's one way to get him here. What I don't know is, you know, he'll have 2 years left, and it'll be about $26 million. So is that a new contract for luxury tax? Is that 13? Does that go in the original deal? But the only way is if you kind of even out this money. But even then, I just don't see it happening. Maybe better off just trying to trade his ass. But someone's going to pick up that contract.
Who's going to do that?
He's in a bad spot. Because he's hitting. He's hitting 300. But he's not hitting for any power. He's not doing any damage.
I wonder what this
I don't know if he's getting line drives all over the place or if he's getting broken bat swinging bunts singles or, you know, broken bat bloops. Is he really swinging it well? Because he ain't sure as hell ain't driving
He's doing it with AAA pitching. You don't know what he's going to be like up here. You could bring him up here and find out that he can't hit in the big leagues.
You better be sure.
Yeah.
In other words.
Yeah, because you're putting all that money on the books.
Or willing to write it out.
Yeah, all that money on the books. But I'm wondering if they ever get into that situation. You're right. At the end of the year, into next year, you can look at Jackie Bradley Jr. taking that money because there's no way you're paying Jackie. He continues to play the way he's playing right now. No way you're paying him $10 or $11 million next year.
You don't go to arbitration and make less.
Yeah, right.
You go to arbitration, he's going to make more next year. And that ain't going to happen.
Please. All right, we got another hour and then a 20-minute bonus for you coming up on today's OMF.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.